Le docteur Peter van den Dungen a été successivement maître assistant, professeur invité, puis professeur honoraire au département des Peace Studies de l'Université de Bradford entre 1976 et 2015. Il a également été coordinateur général de INMP, International Network of Museums for Peace, entre 1992 et 2017. Notre musée étant membre de ce réseau, c'est à cette occasion que j'ai eu l'occasion de côtoyer, de travailler et d'apprécier les grandes connaissances de Peter. C'est un historien de la paix qui a beaucoup publié sur le mouvement international de la paix avant 1914, sur le prix Nobel de la paix, sur les musées pour la paix, bien sûr, la culture de la paix et l'éducation à la paix. Le titre de sa contribution, Champions of Peace in Wartime, The Decision of the Norwegian Nobel Committee to Award the 1917 Nobel Peace Prize to the International Committee of the Red Cross. Peter, the floor is yours.
Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to thank Roger Mailloux for his kind introduction. And I would like to thank the Gustave Adolf Foundation for organizing this colloquium and for kindly inviting me to say something. Before coming to my precise subject, I would like to make a few introductory kind of comments about the Nobel Peace Prize. First one is to note that the Nobel Peace Prize sort of plays a special position amongst the Nobel Prizes. As you know, all the Nobel Prizes are awarded in Stockholm, except the Peace Prize. And this was a decision of Alfred Nobel. But the Nobel Peace Prize is also unique amongst the family of Nobel Prizes, in that it is the only prize which can be awarded to institutions or organizations. And that was not something which Nobel have decided, and we can discuss why this was. So that as regards the special nature of the Nobel Peace Prize in the family of Nobel Prizes. A second observation concerns the special place of the ICRC in the pantheon of Nobel Peace Laureates. The ICRC is special for two reasons. In the first place, no other organization has been awarded the prize three times. So 1917, 1944, and 1963. And some people would say the first prize to Henri Dunant is also a prize for the ICRC. So maybe three and a half times. And the second way in which the ICRC is a special Nobel Peace Laureate is that during the First World War, no other peace prizes were awarded except to the ICRC in 1917. Now, something should be said, I think, about the award of the ICRC regarding the Second World War, because often one reads and hears that no peace prizes were awarded in either the First or the Second World War, except to the ICRC. And that, strictly speaking, is not correct. No peace awards were made during the Second World War. It was only in December 1945, after the war was finished, that the ICRC was awarded the prize for 1944, which had been reserved. So there is this possibility of doing this, and it has happened on many occasions in the past, not in recent decades. So in 1945, the Peace Prize for 1945 was given to Cordell Hull, U.S. Secretary of State. So we had two prizes, and then the one for the ICRC, which was delayed. Before coming to the ICRC and the award in 1917. I would like to say something about other candidates, other nominations on behalf of the Red Cross or people associated with the Red Cross. Since a few years, we have online the nominations database from Oslo. So people who have been nominated, organizations who have been nominated, with the nominators, and a very brief motivation for the nomination. So we can look at this online up to 1967, because all the Nobel Prizes are subject to a 50-year confidentiality rule. So that means that, as I said, now it is 1967, we can see who was nominated, who was the nominator, and so on. So this is very interesting. So we see that apart from Henri Dunant, the ICRC, and the League of Red Cross Societies, 8 more nominations have been made for either individuals or organizations associated with the Red Cross. So 2 individuals, Gustave Monnier, who was nominated 4 times in the first few years of the Nobel Peace Prize, in 1901, 2, 3, and 1905, always by the same nominator, Professor Alfred Martin, Professor of Law in the university here. And the second individual who has been nominated is Prince Albert of Sweden, who was the president of the Swedish Red Cross, and who has been nominated 6 times in the interwar period. So these are 2, as I say, individuals nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, unsuccessfully so. And then we have 6 nominations for organizations, or 6 different organizations have been nominated for the Peace Prize also, unsuccessfully. And of those 6, 4 are national Red Cross societies, the Norwegian, the Swedish, the American, and the Greek Red Cross have been nominated. Each only 1 time, except for the Greek Red Cross Society, which was nominated 3 times in 3 years. So then the 2 remaining organizations which have been nominated are very interesting ones and relate in a way to the ICRC, because in 1950 the Ador Committee was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize for the work to do with prisoners of war, of which Gustave Ador was the president, and he made visits to prisoners of war camps and so on, wrote reports about it. So he was nominated in 1915, unsuccessfully so. Then in 1917, the ICRC is awarded the prize. And then rather strangely, in 1918, the agency, the Prisoners of War Agency, is nominated by the legal department of the university in Bâle and by one of their professors. And one may say this is a little bit strange, because the prize in 1917 to the ICRC was, at least to some extent, for the Prisoners of War Agency. So this is rather interesting, that the agency by itself was nominated in 1918. So that as regards some preliminary comments. And maybe I should mention one other one, which I think will also be addressed by the next speaker. But which is that when the war started in August 1914, all the Nobel prizes, all the institutions awarding Nobel prizes were faced with a difficulty in wartime to award prizes. Was this possible? Was this desirable? So we had very interesting discussions launched in a way by Swedish newspapers, saying what's going to happen next, because the decisions are made in the autumn, and then on the 10th of December, the day when Nobel died, and which is the day when we have the ceremonies in Stockholm and in Oslo, in the early years, this was when the announcement was made, on the 10th of December. Now it is made in October, but in those early days, on the day itself, on the 10th of December. So this was something which was raised, as I say, for the first time by newspapers in Sweden. What's going to happen to the Nobel Awards? Are we continuing this as if nothing is happening, or do we have a difficulty? And the difficulty, in a way, was that both Norway and Sweden were neutral countries. So the question was raised, what does it mean to be neutral in this regard? Is it more neutral to continue awarding the prizes, or is it more neutral to suspend the award of the prizes? So, very interesting discussion. Many people were in favor of saying, no, we are above politics. Business as usual. But this raised very difficult questions regarding especially the science prizes. Especially Germany was in the forefront of scientific discoveries and so on. So if prizes would have been awarded to a German scientist, my goodness, this would have compromised maybe Swedish neutrality. So it is a complicated picture, and we do have a number of studies which address these issues. So coming to the Peace Prize, to some extent we are in the same boat, and various suggestions have been made. Why were no prizes awarded in 4 of the 5 years, 1914, 15, 16, 18 of the war, and only in 1917? It has been suggested, it was felt, it was not appropriate to award the Peace Prize in the middle of war. Peacemakers had been unsuccessful to prevent this war, so no reason to award a prize for peace. The question of compromising Norwegian neutrality, so there was another one, as it played in Sweden. Another suggestion, and this is the one which has been put forward officially by the Norwegian Nobel Committee, there were no deserving winners. There were no deserving winners. And this is very important because when one looks at the statutes governing the Nobel Prizes, so we have the general statute which applies to all the 5 original prizes, Nobel Prizes, and then for each of the prize awarding bodies, there are the old proper statutes governing each separate prize. There is no provision made for not awarding the prize. So force majeure is not something which one finds in the statutes of the Nobel Foundation. What happens when there is war, revolution, natural catastrophe? There's no such provision. So the only provision which is made for not awarding the prize is there is no deserving candidate. And this has been the argument, the official reason why no prizes were awarded during 4 of the 5 years. And this is certainly not the case if one looks. Now, I must say this, what happened also for all the prizes, in the autumn, the various Nobel committees sent out invitations for nominations. So maybe today 1,000 invitations are sent out by the Norwegian Nobel Institute to those entitled to nominate, individuals, organizations, and so on. So this happened also during wartime. Nominations were sent out in the autumn of each year, inviting nominations. And very good nominations were made. But yet, every time, more or less, there are some complications for each of the prizes. But every time, more or less, the official answer was no prizes being awarded because no deserving candidates could be found. So as I say, now we have access to the database, we can see in each of the war years who was nominated, by whom, with what motivation. So when we look at this, we see that there were many good nominations. And I must say, to be devil's advocate, one could say in 1917 there was a more deserving winner than the ICRC when one looks at Nobel's will. Because as you know, for the Peace Prize, he just one sentence, who is a champion of peace? This is the expression Nobel used. Who is a champion of peace? Somebody who has done the best or the most for what? For the reduction and abolition of standing armies. So this is, I think, the most critical and the most precise formulation. So a very radical kind of interpretation of peace, abolition of armies. And you know, Nobel knew what he was talking about, inventor of dynamite, who foresaw weapons of mass destruction. So the second one, organizing peace conferences. You know, that may sound strange to us, but I think the next speaker will refer to this, organizing peace conferences. And the third one, fraternity amongst nations. So the award to the ICRC would fit under maybe the last kind of heading, fraternity amongst nations. But we had in 1917 a very important nomination. Only one woman was nominated, and only one woman nominated in 1917. And the person nominated was Rosika Schwimmer, who is a wonderful kind of peace activist, Rosika Schwimmer, Hungarian. And she was nominated by somebody called Anna Sibernowski, who has been called Hungarian Bertha von Suttner. So here we had a formidable Hungarian duo, one Hungarian woman nominating another Hungarian woman. And this nomination was perfectly fine, because Rosika Schwimmer was really a very important figure in organizing in 1915 in The Hague a conference of women to try to stop the war. So the International Congress of Women in 1915 in April in The Hague, where about 1,200 women from neutral and belligerent countries came together, talked somehow to come up with a program to stop the war. And this was mainly done by trying to stimulate neutral countries to start mediation, whilst the war was taking place. So this was a wonderful conference, which was not just a conference with resolutions, but then delegations of women were sent to the presidents and prime ministers of all the belligerent and neutral countries. And they were met, and they were received, including by President Wilson and the Pope. And Wilson has paid his respects to these delegations of women, and to some extent, the Covenant of the League of Nations has been influenced by the program adopted at the conference in 1915. So, and then Rosika Schwimmer, the same Rosika Schwimmer, prevailed on Henry Ford to send the ship, the Oscar II, in December 1915, sailing from New York to Europe, to Scandinavia, to start this process of trying to stimulate neutral nations to undertake continuous ongoing mediation to stop the war. And Henry Ford said, I would be very happy to spend half of my fortune to stop the war by one day. So he put his money where his mouth is, financing this ship, which was ridiculed and so on. And to a large extent, it was also ridiculed because there were many women on board, women peacemakers. So the Jane Addams, I think, was prevented, but Rosika Schwimmer, as I say, she was the great figure of this whole enterprise. So when she was nominated in 1917, she very precisely fitted one of the three criteria of Nobel, organizing peace conferences. And in this case, to stop the war, 1915. But for a long time, the Nobel Committee, one may say, has been misogynistic, and it has taken a long time before this five-person committee had a woman member. So this was unsuccessful. And one could look at other nominations and say, what was the competition for the ICRC in 1917? So as I say, many nominations and many good nominations, and some fitting the bill more precisely than the ICRC. So let us come then to the award in 1917 to the Committee of the Red Cross here in Geneva. And I must admit, my research has not been completed yet, because I have not been able to consult archives here. I have not yet even been able to see the bulletins of the Red Cross. And I have not managed to see everything there is to see in Oslo. But still, the ICRC, in 1917, as I mentioned, there were several nominations. There were 12 individuals were nominated, including three royals, King Albert of Belgium, the King of Spain, and would you believe it, Emperor Kaiser Wilhelm, nominated for the Peace Prize in 1917. But leading international lawyers, leading parliamentarians, leading peace activists. Then amongst the organizations, eight organizations were nominated, including the National Peace Association of Norway, the National Peace Association of Sweden, the National Peace Association of Denmark, and the Swedish Peace and Arbitration League, and the ICRC. So when one looks at what weighs heavier, so how many nominations have been made, who has nominated a particular candidate, so only the ICRC and the Swedish Peace and Arbitration League were nominated twice. All the others got only one nomination. So that counts for something. Who amongst organizations nominated has been nominated before? So the ICRC was nominated once before in 1901. Especially important, who nominates? So in 1917, three existing Nobel Peace Laureates nominated. So that counts for something, but a Nobel Peace Laureate nominates an organization or an institution. And it so happens that one of the two nominations for the ICRC in 1917 was by a prominent Nobel Peace Laureate of 1907, Professor Louis Renault from Paris, who was France's leading international lawyer, professor at the Sorbonne, minister of plenipotentiary, very important figure in the two Hague Peace Conferences of 1899 and 1907, very important in conferences about the revision of the Geneva Convention, the conference here in 1906. So he was one of the two nominators. And the second nominator was the Swiss Federal Council through the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Arthur Hoffmann. So these are two heavyweight nominators. So when one looks at the various nominations, yes, the ICRC has a good chance of being selected because of the nature of the nominators, the Swiss federal government and Louis Renault. But what is very interesting is, and I do not know, for instance, as regards the Swiss Federal Council, where did the idea come from? When Hoffmann wrote his letter on behalf of the Swiss Federal Council to the Norwegian Nobel Committee, he refers to the letter he received to make nominations. I do not know yet, and maybe there is information in the archives of the Swiss Foreign Ministry or the government somehow who had this idea to reply positively, to take action and make this nomination. So, as I said, that I at the moment do not know. And also I do not know, and this is very important, as regards the second nomination, Professor Renault apparently was stimulated to make a nomination by the secretary of the Norwegian Nobel Committee, Ragnald Moe, I believe his name has to be pronounced. He was from 1910 until 1945, for many years, the director of the Norwegian Nobel Institute, who is at the same time also the secretary of the Norwegian Nobel Committee. So Ragnald Moe went to Paris in December of 1916 to encourage Louis Renault to nominate the ICRC for the Peace Prize. And he mentioned that he had already discussed this nomination with the chairperson of the Norwegian Nobel Committee. And then later he wrote, in the beginning of January, he wrote to Renault reminding him, saying, please follow up this suggestion and make sure that you send your nomination before the deadline, which is 1st of February. End of January, nominations have to be in Oslo. But it did not need any encouragement, and Renault had managed to get a number of signatories for the nomination, from, for instance, Détenel de Constant, Nobel Peace Prize laureate of 1909, and several other leading French international lawyers, and so on. So this was a nomination, as I say, not just coming from him, but from important colleagues as well. The role, I think, of Moe is very important in this, and also what happens is that the shortlist is drawn up. And then specialists are asked to write a report on each of the shortlisted candidates. And in this case, the report for the ICRC was drawn up and written by the secretary of the committee, by Wu. And it's very interesting. So these are secretive reports, which only in recent years have become available for researchers. So what is very interesting is that he wrote a 10-page report on the ICRC. And if you look at the volume, because they are published, other reports are half a page, one page, but here 10 pages on the ICRC. And what does Move do? He reviews the history of the Red Cross, making use of the documentation which he has received, including bulletins which were sent by Arthur Hoffman when he nominated the Red Cross on behalf of the Swiss government. He added the issues of the bulletin of the Red Cross, the quarterly bulletin, of the war years. So there were 9 issues to show what the Red Cross had been doing during the war years. But in his report, Mu looked back to the beginnings of the Red Cross and identified the work before the war, during the war, and then the special section on the Agency for Prisoners of War. And that agency had just a few months earlier received a prize from the French Academy, a very old prize going back to the 1820s, I forget the name. And also, of course, it had received money, a donation from Romain Rolland, who himself had received the previous year the Nobel Prize in Literature. So it is very important that the secretary of the Nobel Committee took a personal interest in making sure that the ICRC would be successful. And he also contacted Hans Dahr, the Norwegian military, the head of the health services of the Norwegian army, who had been instrumental in nominating Henri Dunant for the first Nobel Peace Prize, which was a great surprise to everybody that Henri Dunant, coming out of nowhere, received the prize, and that was very much the work of Hans Dahr. As I say, he was consulted by Mo and helped him greatly, and he discussed with Mo, would it be legitimate to give this special peace prize in the middle of war to the Red Cross, to the ICRC, and Dahr was saying, of course, there would be no better candidate. So very briefly, this prize, when it was announced, it was wartime, but it was hardly discussed, it was hardly mentioned. I think the Neue Zürcher Zeitung, with no reference, also in the peace literature, the bulletin of the International Peace Bureau here, then it was in Bern, one sentence. In the local newspaper, one sentence about the prize, and it was very much criticized by the peace movement, and especially by Alfred Hermann Fried, Nobel Peace Prize laureate of 1911. The last, he wrote a very famous diary during the war when he was in exile, mainly in Zurich. And the last entry for 1917 in his diary sort of is a one page or so about this award. And he says, of course, the ICRC and the Prisoners of War Agency, wonderful work. But this is not what the prize is meant for. And he says, in a way, this prize is dangerous because it reinforces a popular opinion, which is that, there will always be wars, and the best we can do is to mitigate kind of the disasters of war. And that's what the Red Cross does. Whereas the Nobel Peace Prize is meant for imaginative, idealistic projects, and of which there were a number also during the war, how to stop the war, and so on. So as I say, Fried was critical, and in some Scandinavian papers one saw comments saying, yes, this prize would have been the good one for medicine. The Nobel Prize in Medicine might have been appropriate for the ICRC, but not for peace. So I think my time is up, and my research is not yet fully completed, but I think the role of the secretary of the Nobel Committee, Ragnar Moe, as I went to Paris, was in touch with the Renault, wrote the report, and then also on the 10th of December, when the ceremony took place in the Norwegian Nobel Institute, he gave the speech about the ICRC and why it was a deserving winner. Thank you very much.